Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back to another episode of The Savage Truth. Happy to be with you. I'm Cicely Davis. Thank you so very much for joining me. If you're new to this channel, welcome. Now, I'm going to be honest. I say this a lot, but I really mean it. You picked an extra special, really great episode to join me. Thank you so much for making that decision, for joining in on the conversation. I'm going to ask you for something. I'm going to ask you for two things, actually. This one is to sit back, relax, enjoy the conversation. Please join in and then tell someone else about the show. Come on back for another episode and bring them along with you. Now, for though the ride or dies, you're the loyalists. You're the people who tune in on a regular basis and you support me. I thank you so very much. You are the reason that I do this and I just love doing it. Love the support. Thank you so very much. I see you in the comments. I'm going to get in there and respond back to you. Now, I have an ask, and it is always this, whether you're returning or a loyalist, and it is this, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's Haps. Now, I brought a guest this week, a returning favorite, my husband, Brad. You all remember him, you know, episode 100 and so forth. Brought him back to join in on the conversation. So, you know, brought a little help here, and you know, this is how husband and wives, this is how we talk.
This was fun.
It's so very fun. So fun for me. Hope it's enjoyable for you. But we're going to talk about a few things that's going on. And, you know, let's get them to join in with us. We're going to talk about something that's a little sensitive, but
it's got to be spoken.
But it's got to be spoken about.
And people are afraid. They don't talk about it enough.
Yeah. And I think it's really about this.
The issues.
But this is about the heartbreaking death of Corey Comparatore, who was the husband, the father, the firefighter, who was the shaking. He was the gentleman who lost his life when Donald Trump was actually shot in the ear and was attempted. His life was attempted upon. So he was a rather simple man who came to support Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, only to lose his life in the act of political violence that the media has been eerily slow to fully confront. They still to this day don't actually talk about it. So his widow, her name was Helen Comparatore, has stepped forward with some unimaginable grace, right? She has honored her husband's legacy. She's really coming forth. She's shedding light on the aftermath and been talking about what it's been like for her since the loss of her beloved husband, and the aftermath filled not only with grief, but also a glaring absence of leadership and accountability from those who claim to care about peace and democracy in this country. So Helen's reflections are powerful and sobering. She says she's been offered help, but it's clear that no amount of sympathy can really truly replace her husband, as you can imagine, or the outrage that should have followed this senseless death, right? I mean, she went with her husband to see Donald Trump and hear about how he's going to become president of the United States and address America's needs, right? And the tragic irony is that if this had occurred at a left-leaning rally protest, we would have seen candlelight vigils, round-the-clock coverage, and national conversations about rhetoric and gun laws and political extremism. But because Corey was a Trump supporter and the event wasn't sponsored by a progressive cause, the silence from the mainstream media and Democrat leadership has been deafening, to say the least. Helen, like so many Americans, is left to mourn not just her husband, but the double standard in how lives are valued based on a political affiliation. And it makes you wonder, where is the outrage, right? We've kind of forgotten about him all so very quickly. And so I'm very glad to be bringing this back up, not because of the loss of him, but to remember who these American people are, who we are, and some fantastic American citizens. And they're giving their lives, even though that wasn't the intent, obviously. Where are the Hollywood tributes, right? The presidential statements, especially from Democrat leaders. Where are the statements from them? Where are the hashtags? Instead, we're reminded again that in today's climate, being a conservative supporter means not only that your beliefs are dismissed, but your tragedies are too. And so I raised Corey Comparatore's name. He represented the everyday American who still believes in faith and family and freedom. And while his name may not be trending his sacrifices must never be forgotten, because if this is what's happening in law-abiding citizens' lives simply by showing support for a presidential candidate, then we're no longer in a political debate. We're in a fight for the soul of this country. Yeah.
Well said. Yeah. I think it's a tragedy that we have literally forgotten the name, and that more happened at that rally than Trump just being shot in the air, but lives were lost and lives were changed. And I think it's unfortunate that that has been completely forgotten.
Yeah, it is. It's a tragedy. So I'm glad to see her coming forward to keep us in remembrance, and remembering we have to be mindful that we can't allow any American, especially in this kind of situation, to go forgotten, right? And it's just a reminder for all of us as citizens here in America, there are some fantastic people that we live amongst, and there is just no greater country. And so I appreciate and I join her in remembering her beloved husband, and just, we need to make sure that we raise Comparatore's name as a great American. All right, folks, now we got to bring you here to Minnesota, because...
whether you want to come or not.
And I think, well, you know, considering how this state is being run, probably not. But we're going to talk about
at the moment.
Your favorite, Tim Walz. Your favorite. Tim Walz.
Favorite.
Yes.
Favorite might be an overstatement.
Well, folks, apparently Minnesota Governor Tim Walz needed a little prep talk. But not just any prep talk. A $430,000 taxpayer-funded coaching session before heading to Washington for questioning. Okay, that's right, $500,000 or so. So he could practice lying and looking competent in front of a microphone. Now, you'd think for that kind of money, you'd get Churchill or Reagan or Vince Lombardi rolled into one. But no, what we got instead was a polished version of the same old dodging, mumbling, and virtue signaling that defines Walz's leadership, right here in Minnesota. Now, if your policies are indefensible, I guess your only option is to buy a script and hope the public doesn't notice the price tag. So paid $430,000 to learn how to lie professionally.
And basically, right? $430,000 to act like you don't understand the question.
Right.
I could have done it for half of that. I could have coached him.
Yeah,
I would have coached him to tell the truth, but that I know wouldn't have worked. So I would have just went to the other. Just do the best. Just pretend like you don't understand.
Right.
Give me a check.
How much you would have charged?
$220,000.
Half.
Almost half. I would think I could have been, you know, like, what's that? And especially, I like how he stumbled through the, you know, what is a woman thing. Like, he did,
right.
I don't know if I understand the question. Like, he's just a buffoon.
Yeah. Yeah,
little Timmy is the worst thing that ever happened to the state of Minnesota, and we are just looking at the ramifications of that every single day. So let's hope that someone steps up and actually just can turn the state around at some point.
He is a national embarrassment, right? And so when you think about the state of Minnesota, you get Tim Walz. And so people get an insight as to what it's like to live in this state, who our leadership is. And when I think about that, and he speaks or he comes across the screen, I instantly become embarrassed.
Like, so there's a lot of reasons to be angry about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I think of all the years that I went to gym class too, and every time I went into the men's gym room, there was no tampons at all available to us. And it's like, we'd live with that. We literally had to grow up with that for all the years of junior high, and in graduation and all the way. And I kept wondering, where are the tampons, so we had no Tim Walz to support us.
I'm sorry.
I know. It's a tragedy that often is overlooked. Again,
yeah.
The unsung heroes that survived that.
Yeah.
But I was one, and I know there are many, many more.
Well, it was brave of you to come out on camera and talk about
I've talked about it.
Yeah.
I had to be out there.
I appreciate that. We need to not sugarcoat it. This was an outrageous abuse of public funds is what it was. Minnesota is grappling with rising crime. We have staggering deficits, we have crumbling infrastructure, and a public school system that's turning out more activist slogans than actual literacy.
Right, well, yeah, but we're missing the part where the graduation rates are, and here they're the highest ever in Minnesota.
Lies.
Well, they can't read.
Right.
But we're graduating them like crazy.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, you know, we're graduating them, the graduation rates are really high, literacy rates, not so high, but math skills, You know, well, who needs math anyway? You know what? That's why they made those calculator things.
Yeah, let's just make sure
they're on your phone.
Let's just make sure they're walking across that stage in that cap and gown. Right? Okay. And families, people who punch clocks, working people, they're struggling to buy groceries. And while all that's happening, Governor Walz is out there dropping six figures on communication consultants and performance coaching.
When the goal is to destroy the family, why do you have to support it? I mean, the goal here isn't to create the families, it's to destroy it.
Yeah.
So
I just kept imagining telling that mom in St. Paul or the small business owner in Duluth that their hard working or their hard earned tax dollars went to making the governor feel better before a tough Q&A in Washington.
And he still looked like a buffoon. So I don't know. It seems like money not well spent once again for the state of Minnesota. You know, with our $1 billion deficit, add that to it.
Yeah. Leaders are supposed to serve the people, not drain their wallets to improve their stage presence.
I should correct myself. $6 billion deficit.
Let's be honest.
Let's not talk about billions. Let's talk about the amount of billions.
Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't culturing. It's a cover up. It was a PR shield for a governor who knows his policies can't withstand real scrutiny. That's why he actually spent the money. That's why he sought the coaching. Whether it's the botched COVID response, the crime surge in the Twin Cities, or his cozy relationship with radical activists and communists, Tim Walz is
and
far more.
China.
Yeah.
Oh, he loves China.
Loves China.
Imagine going to China 30 times. I love it so much. You know what I love? I love the Custer Battlefield, and I've only been there maybe 4 or 5 times. I haven't been there 30 times.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it'd be like to go to China 30 times.
Yeah.
Or the cost of that.
Obviously, Tim Walz is certainly more comfortable in front of a teleprompter than he is answering for his failure. So instead of standing on conviction and results, he paid for poise and polish, because it's easier to pretend and to lie you're a leader than to actually lead, right? $500,000, and the best he could do was act calm when he was confronted.
I wonder, that Dana White's been talking about having, and Trump are talking about having this UFC fight at, the White House. You heard that. But I also heard Tim Walz a few months ago, he had challenged, said that he could beat up all, basically he thought he could basically whip the asses of all.
Yeah.
I don't know, can you say asses here? I don't know. I hope so. Hey, whip the asses, we'll say butts, of all the, basically the Trump supporters. So maybe they could get Tim Walz to come in and have a headline that, and maybe match him up against any... Basically, yeah. Probably almost anybody that's willing to go in there and at least had a grade school little scrap, they could probably go in there and fight against Tim Walz. I think that would be a great move for the UFC and the White House event.
I don't think that when Minnesotans lined up to vote Tim Walz in that they were asking for an actor, but they certainly at $430,000, they certainly got one, right? Well, it's just so atrocious. It's so difficult. This is such a beautiful state, and there's such wonderful people here, but the leadership out of Minnesota leaves you so infuriated at all times. And at the top, the very top, the hill is Tim Walz, and it just trickles down, and it reflects the life that we live here in Minnesota, and it's just time for him to go. So hopefully a good challenger can come forward. And maybe the people of Minnesota can wake up and actually put some real leadership in so we can get our fantastic, great state back. So
we can only hope.
Yeah.
But it is an actor. But I suppose Clarabelle the Clown was an actor too, I suppose, of sorts. And he fits into that realm at least.
Yeah. So moving on, there's, you miss the movies. Remember, we used to go to the movies a lot more.
Movies, we used to go.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, we went to the movies a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of those American traditions that really kind of faded away. And we saw people not going out and going to the movies. We lost a lot during COVID. It hasn't quite bounced back. I feel like if there's a surge coming back.
I miss
back.
That a little bit. I mean, we go once now, maybe twice in the last year. But it's fun always when we go, but there hasn't been a lot that's want to, like, drag me into the theater.
Yeah, well, and I would say Hollywood writing has changed, right?
Not Disney. Disney hasn't changed. What are you talking about?
Well, we've had a lot of superheroes come out. They've wokeified them and things like that. But, that good, strong writing in Hollywood, I think that took a bout, too. So, hopefully we can get this all back. So there's a new release of Superman in theaters right now, and people have been talking about it. They've definitely gone to see it. And we're hearing that there was definitely some political undertones going on. And, you know, I took this personally. It was tough for me. So it was a tribute to an American icon and more a blatant. It wasn't that. It was more of a blatant hijacking by a political agenda. Now, what once stood for truth, justice, and the American way has now been reduced to a politically correct mouthpiece wrapped in a cape. And instead of a moral beacon, we were given a lecture. Superman no longer represents the ideals of strength, masculinity, and unwavering virtue. He has been turned into a gender neutral, in some of the comic books, of course, and over time, a climate conscious social justice warrior with an identity crisis and a carefully curated list of compressed, oppressed communities to represent. The character has been stripped of the timeless qualities that made him universally inspiring and remolded into a hollow vessel of progressive talking points. And it's so difficult to watch. This isn't just bad storytelling, folks. It's cultural vandalism. Superman was never broken. He didn't need to be reimagined. He didn't need to be rebranded or repurposed. He was the ideal, powerful, noble, and unapologetically good superhero. But now, Hollywood's agenda has taken precedence over myth-making. They've weaponized nostalgia and twisted it into a propaganda tool, erasing the values that made Superman timeless. It's not only creatively lazy, it's deeply offensive to longtime fans like myself who loved what Superman stood for. When the greatest superhero in history becomes just another virtue signaling puppet, you know the culture war has come for our last remaining heroes. And what's more infuriating about this new Superman movie is the not so subtle political messaging shoved between every frame. The filmmaker clearly wanted us to believe that Republicans hate aliens, okay, not the kind from Krypton, but the kind crossing the southern border, and the Democrats are the selfless, open-armed, open-minded saviors of humanity. I mean, give me a break. It's a classic leftist projection. Twist a superhero story into an allegory about immigration, paint conservatives as xenophobic villains, and then pat themselves on the back for being brave. Here's the savage truth. Republicans believe in legal immigration, law and order, and protecting the country Superman once vowed to serve. The very idea that the right is cold and cruel while the left is compassionate is not only just lazy, it's propaganda disguised as entertainment. We came to see Superman fly. That's what Americans watch him for. Not to watch a two-hour lecture on progressive utopianism. In our household,
this is hard.
This is tough. This is personal for me. And, you know, you're a little unfeeling. Now, well, I think you get the general umbrella that
I get the idea that, yeah. You know, we're taking, again, pop culture icons. We're destroying, you know, why not? We've destroyed the statues. We've tried to distort history. So why not take and change some of our iconic pop figure heroes also? I mean, it seems kind of on the agenda of, you know, maybe the Democrats and Hollywood, especially the way Disney has propelled itself. So it doesn't surprise me that they would do this with Superman. On another level, it doesn't surprise me that you would pick the character Superman to do that because, you know, you could take Superman and make him gender neutral, I suppose, where you couldn't take other iconic figures like Batman, for example.
Oh.
Batman.
Yes.
And make him gender neutral. This is not possible.
Yeah.
Okay, Batman is Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to clue the people in because there's a... So folks, just so you know, in this household, Brad is the love of my life. He's my husband. We agree on just about everything. He is wonderful. He's attentive.
He's wonderful.
He was fantastic. He was fun
fantastic.
To court. He's very... Yeah. But when it comes to this, funny, clearly, right? But there has always been in existence in this family a divide.
Yeah.
And it's not race. It's certainly not politics or religion, but it is within superheroes. because Cicely is pro Superman and Brad
pro Batman.
Yeah. So we need to settle this once and for all.
Well, I think we did settle it.
Oh, absolutely. We said that Superman is the greatest American hero of all time.
Okay.
Well, Savage Truth.
We have to go through a lot of the history of Superman to explain this.
Okay.
Why this is, doesn't work. We're not talking about just the film now, obviously. We're talking about just the Superman image in itself.
Okay.
One, he is, you know, he is an alien. He came here, and, you know, he's not. And so that's, you know, there's that. I'm not going to say he's an illegal alien because I think he actually did. He was accepted. Like, so he was adopted. So he actually is a legal, you know, alien. And so, you know, the idea of that is, you know, is
he's adopted by legal American citizens.
Right. So he's illegal. He is legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to say anything or make those points. My point is just about literally the character of Superman is kind of boring.
Wow.
Well, I mean, imagine he's invulnerable to almost everything. And you know, how much fun is there in that? Like, you have, Batman has so many vulnerabilities. He's like, he's a real human being. He's not an alien. He's a real human being who has suffered trauma.
Yeah.
And now he has to go out and he fights. And you know what the other thing with Batman? He knows the difference between good and evil. He actually does know the difference between good and evil. It's a real clear line for him.
I can't take it.
You're right. He's not in the middle, not trying to do good. He's just doing what is good. And what is right all the time.
Superman embodies the human male, right? Superman embodies people. He is literally someone, he can fly, right?
Just like me.
He can shoot lasers from his eyes, lift entire planets.
Well, who can't do that?
He catches helicopters. Remember in the 80s when Jane Hatkin was the ultimate villain? He catches a helicopter. Yeah. There is a symbol. There is a entire spirit that comes forth from Superman versus Batman. And it is the American spirit. It's joy. There's hope. That's what he lifts entire planets and still holds down a 9-to-5 as Clark Kent. He's amongst the working people without complaining about
it. And you know, let's talk about Clark Kent because this is interesting. Clark Kent. So he manages, he's got Superman, manages to throw on a pair of glasses and all of a sudden he's Clark Kent. Nobody knows who he is.
Nobody knows.
Nobody's got a clue.
He's super.
That works. That works for you?
It worked.
Okay. Just for fun. just ask me once, just for fun. Just ask me to just say, Brad, can you take out the garbage?
Brad, can you take out the garbage?
Just 1 minute. Brad's not here.
Okay. Now, Batman, on the other hand, is a billionaire with a childhood trauma, with a gadget addiction, who spends his nights brooding on rooftops and taking in a voice that sounds like he swallowed a cheese grater. He can't seem to get Gotham together, even though there's only three recycled villains, and he still can't pull, he can't seem to get Gotham together. I mean, what's the issue?
Okay. There's so many things where I could go with it. Here, hold on for a minute. Just hold up. I brought you over your little prop. Could you show,
let's show the people.
This is what you're out there. You're being attacked by some. Who you want to come and save you? You want this guy?
You want
right here,
this guy here?
Or you want, who's more believable? Or you want this guy? I think we know.
This is all in fun because this divide in this family will continue. Okay.
Oh.
Clearly the smarter members of the family, me, it's pro Superman, pro America, right? And then there's a rat with wings. But the general idea, though, is that, you know, having Superman go political and the way that the left and progressive have decided to try to dismantle and take these heroes down is really about an entire agenda of dismantling America.
Yeah. There
and
is
what America loves.
There's the fun of differences is just this.
Yeah.
Okay, here's an example. Batman, Superman, who's the Democrat, Republican. The rift doesn't need to be, it can be fun, and you can enjoy that kind of combativeness of your ideology. But they've made it so now that they're trying to drive a point. Like this new movie of Superman in all, you know, I have not seen it. But what I can say is that it seems that it doesn't, they're always trying to drive a wedge And so the wedge is like they're trying to paint Republicans one way, Democrats another, as if you have to be all caring. The only way you can be all caring and all good is if you're a Democrat, and the Republicans now are this evil entity that are out there trying to stop and suppress and now and hold control over America.
Yeah.
And that we're not. And it's just really sad what it's become, that it's no longer about debates about whether, you know, Superman is the lesser superhero than Batman.
Because he's not.
It's about, you know, this driving this wedge that actually becomes more combative and actually kind of ugly.
Yeah.
It takes the fun out of these debates.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I would say is that in defense of Batman one last time is that, you know, if you go up to somebody on the street and you say, name a Batman villain, they're going to be able to name off the Joker, you know, they're going to. Catwoman, they're going to name off the Riddler and the Penguin. They're going to name off all the villains. But if you ask somebody to name off five villains for Superman, they got nothing.
Well, actually, because Superman's villain is anything that's anti-America, right? It's
crime.
Yeah, but
major villains speak of.
It's crime. It's anything that's...
A couple ones. Nobody remembers
it's
these.
It's crime. Yeah, okay. People do remember.
The only one they remember.
As you can see, the debate will continue.
My favorite is when they had to create Bizarro Superman, which is actually like a mentally challenged version of Superman to actually fight Superman. Because the only thing that can beat, you know, Superman evidently is another Superman, because that it's such a, like... It's a weaker character.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Well, remember this, that this is the Savage Truth of Cicely Davis. So I get the last word, and I get to say that Superman doesn't need prep time. He doesn't need backup plans or therapy. He just shows up and wins. Meanwhile, Batman's biggest superpower is being rich and emotionally unavailable. Case closed. And that, my friends, is the Savage Truth. Let's give the people a little highlights of both our favorite heroes.
This should be some sort of legal record for convictions by a jury.
Smiley and Gus.
There's something very catfishy about this whole thing, Batman.
I think it's a fix.
That's the way the law is, Robin. They've received a fair trial and been adjudged not guilty. Every man is entitled to his day in court. We must abide by the jury's decision.
Hey, that's no foreman. That's Marvin the Moose. He used to work with Catwoman.
And that second fellow is Dave the Dummy. He's also worked with Catwoman.
Your Honor, I move.
You're on your way to prison, Catwoman.
Circumventing justice, Catwoman.
Not as long as honest and dedicated law enforcers have a breath left.
Excuse me.
That's a bad outfit.
Whoa. Okay, Breslau, I'll move these people.
God, look up there.
What the hell is that?
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me? Who's got you?
I can't believe it. I just cannot believe it. He got her.
Ah!
Gentlemen, this man needs help. Well, I certainly hope this little incident hasn't put you off flying, miss. Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
Right. Wait! Who are you?
A friend. Bye.
To take a sandwich with you, sir?
I'll get drive-thru.
Thank you, Brad, for showing up today. And see you've dressed for the occasion. You're so well accessorized.
I have my, I don't know if you can see it here, my Batman limited edition watch. It's the first appearance of Batman in issue of Detective Comics number 27. For the occasion of our debate, I decided to wear the watch.
Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true, like Superman.
And Batman.
Till next time.
Adios.
I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.